and welcome to the Royals Rundown Podcast, the Kansas City Royals podcast in association with Inside the Royals. I am Jake Milham, and I'm joined tonight by the unfortunate Jayhawk fan, Lucas Murphy. Lucas, how you doing tonight, man?
We're 2-0, baby. We're taking over. We are taking over. I don't know if you saw, but the Kansas Jayhawks are now, according to some, ranked higher in the overall than Missouri Tigers. So I am completely, completely satisfied right now. How are you doing, man?
You know what? I'm doing all right. And hey, after my Wildcats absolutely ran Mizzou out of Manhattan, I'm just fine with the Jayhawks being above Mizzou. I can't stand them.
Hey, I got to tell you this, though, too. Not too many times a Jayhawk's going to bet on the Wildcats, but I made sure the Wildcats got that dub. So
hell yeah. I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. Well, look, it's very telling of where the Royals are at right now. We're opening up a Royals podcast talking about football. We are very I wouldn't say checked out. I don't think that's the but we're I feel like the fan base is kind of moving on. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think for the success that the Chiefs have had since Mahomes and even before, I'd say Andy Reid's tenure, when football season gets here, I really think it shifts 100%. And football season is definitely in full gear. We got a huge game tomorrow night, and well, when people are listening, it'll be tonight. But yeah, I think people definitely check out when Chiefs start up.
And you know what? I'll fully own up to it. Usually we record on Thursday nights and we release on Friday mornings. That's been kind of the drumbeat for a while now. Football's king so much right now. We looked at the schedule, said, hey, Chiefs are playing Thursday night. We can't possibly record on Thursday night during the game.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweeted today on Twitter, and they basically explained it was simple. They showed the Chiefs painting the field. I don't know if you've seen the field, how they did the field.
Yeah,
but amazing. They were live streaming them painting the field, and 600 people were watching that. Mm-hmm. And so that just shows you that football reigns king when it comes to sports in the United States. Like, it does.
It does, and especially when you have a dominant team like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, 600 people watching on paint a field. That's crazy to me.
And you know what? I'll go watch a time-lapse or something like that, but I clicked on that video link, and it's like an hour and a half long. Like, yeah. It is literally the equivalent. It's the most exciting paint you can watch dry. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Well, and like you like to say, you know, you like to pivot. Well, yeah. Let's just say the Royals aren't painting the field, if you know what I'm saying.
Woo, I like it. I like it. I like it. Yeah, man, it's pretty tough right now. We talked in the past about, you know, hey, these young guys are going to come up. They're going to do good things. They're going to do bad things. That's all right. But let's be frank. The product on the field just hasn't been there, man. Since late July, they've been 18-27. So they're kind of... they're going back downhill. They got a little hot. Things looked pretty dang good for a while. And then end of August, things really, really ran off the rails. Lucas, I mean, be honest with me. When was the last time you sat down and watched a Royals game from first pitch to last pitch?
So since sports betting in Kansas was accepted, I've actually watched a lot of baseball specifically. Really? I've been betting on them and against them quite a bit. I really have watched, I would say, probably at least 10 full games, honestly.
There you go.
So I watched a lot of the Tiger series. I would say more so, like, I'm trying to think, from the Padres probably on is when I really started to get involved a lot more than I would say. I usually watch a lot of baseball as it is, though. Like, I can't say that I don't. So I'd say about 10 games.
Okay. All right. Has it always been enjoyable?
No. Most definitely not.
There you go. Hey, look, that's just complete and utter honesty. But hey, folks are still going out. They're still paying the parking. They're still paying the tickets to go see these young Royals, because hey, you never know when you might see some of these guys again. And it is really strange to think about the fact that there are less than 20 games left in the Major League Baseball season for these Royals, and like 7 of them are against the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland. So yeah. It's definitely a weird leg of the Major League Baseball season, especially for a struggling team like the Royals.
Yeah.
And Lucas, let's look back to the past a little bit here. So I'll say this, both of our win prediction records out the window.
Completely.
Yeah, and I think that is the case for a lot of Royals fans. What I will say though is we were both pretty optimistic about the fact that the AL Central felt very wide open. There wasn't one dominant team. Every team kind of had a case in the preseason, and it's still feeling very wide open. Like a team barely above 500 is very much in the playoff race.
Yeah, and I think that to me, that's what's just so disappointing about how the Royals really have, I guess, gone through this season is the fact that I get that they have a lot of young guys, and you really wanted to see that evolution of all of them come up. But man, to just know that the Central isn't really that competitive,
mm-hmm.
we're not competing against those teams, I think is what's most disappointing to me. And like, it just, yeah, like you said, you got a team that's barely gonna to squeak above 500 probably and get into the playoffs. And are they really even gonna do much in the playoffs? Probably not. But it's just, that's what's so disappointing to me is the fact that the Royals could have put just some form of a good product out there and competed. And like, and again, could it be how they position the players? Could it be how they do a lineup? Like, you know, we beat the horse of Ryan O'Hearn, but there's been times where Ryan O'Hearn's been in a lineup over somebody and nobody can explain why.
Yeah.
Or like, there's just things like that. Maybe some bullpen usage and things like that. So, yeah, it's been definitely, even aside from our predictions, I think that's what's most disappointing to me.
And another – so I remember last year, as a team overall, the Royals were very frustrating and hard to watch. But people still tuned in and people still went out to Kauffman, cut out that time out of their day because Salvador Perez – was doing what he was doing. He was having a historic year, and he was chasing a very good milestone. And fans were very much invested in that. I think that is the lack of a calling card, if you will, for this season is really hurting fans' interest as well. Because there's nothing except walking that the Royals are really doing well. They struggle to hit, they struggle to pitch, and they're normal, like basic things like defense and base running are even amongst the worst in Major League Baseball. Like, it's just frustrating to watch. Like, this very much seems like a team that is going through the motions. And we'll talk about someone else who looks like he's going through the motions here in a little bit. But Lucas, let's go ahead and close this chapter talking about the team a little bit. Do you have any final thoughts you want to say?
Well, and I think this will transition into what you're going to lead into, but I think, like, for me too, when the Royals were competing, they did draft well. You know, we had Hosmer, we had Moustakas, we had other guys that Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar were a part of trades, and guys kind of evolved and came up in a way that they did. But one thing that I, in that time span, the Royals kind of opened up the book, and David Glass allowed them to at least spend some money, which then, you know, kind of allowed them to do stuff. I think this will create more way of like saying, hey, let me try it my way of creating a complete youth movement and then bringing them all up, and we'll try to succeed that way. I think if clearly that hasn't worked and we're not seeing it work, the productivity, you know, and I'm not saying all these guys are going to be failures. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I do think at some point, if you're going to try to compete in the Central, which we just talked about being weak, you're going to have to open up and spend some money in this offseason. And I think you're going to have to pair that with the youth. I don't just throw every young guy out there and expect them to go out there and like Bobby Witt Jr. to win Rookie of the Year and other guys just do complete, you know, silver sluggers and things like that. I get you have Salvador Perez, you have Nicky as a leader, but you have to go out there and spend money to compete, and that's just how baseball is. So,
hey, that's the truth. And they are spending money to compete. They have Hunter Dozier for that, right?
I mean, that's a whole nother topic, and that could be a whole episode, man. It really could.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Well, and I know we're kind of doing this podcast on the equivalent of a short week. You know, I put out an episode on Sunday. The Royals didn't have a game on Monday. There's only been one game between the last two episodes when we're recording this. So it's a little tight, but don't worry. Royals leadership have given us plenty to talk about this evening. And we're going to go and start off with the good old Mr. J.J. Piccolo. And Lucas, I know you said that you heard his statement today, but I'm going to go ahead and read off the juicy bit of it. Yeah. So he was sitting down with Bally Sports, of course, and his juicy bit was, we need guys to take a step forward a lot like Brady Singer. Stringing a lot of starts together, I think, is the next major step. And later on in the interview, he went on to single out guys like Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich, which I'm not saying he's wrong, but it does raise the question in my mind, if this man is so quick to publicly call out his players, why isn't he calling out the other side of this coin?
I think you and I kind of talked about this before we started this, and I do think that the hot seat got a little hotter. I'm wondering if there's things that are going on behind scenes that may indicate that some people are on their way out, and that could be, this could be their transition of like, hey, it's time to really send a message, and we're going to go ahead and call people out, and so maybe they've already done that. And yeah. I think it's good that he does that, because I don't think that's really Dayton's MO. I don't think Dayton's the type that's going to call people out. JJ's to be completely different, and I think it's well deserved. I mean, you know, they obviously vested a lot into them. They scouted them. They put a lot of quality time into them, and they're not panning out. And I think what he said is justified.
You know what? And it very much is. What rubs me the wrong way is the fact that the pitching issues go well beyond Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch this year. Every single pitcher at some point this year has had some crazy issues. Branky on the road. Even Singer got sent down to Omaha. Yep. And, I mean, there's been a constant seesaw of Carlos Hernandez, Jonathan Heasley, just guys going up and down from Omaha to Kansas City, and they just can't seem to figure it out for an extended period of time in Kansas City. And at some point, and we've talked about Kyle Eldred on this podcast before, but with each loss and each struggling pitching appearance, the question remains, is this an individual player issue, player by player issue, or is this something just for the whole team, for the whole organization? Because it's not like any Royals pitching is really having any success at any level. Even Frank Mazzucato, you know, I'll admit, dude looks a lot better mechanically and with his pitch mix than he did coming out of high school. I think he's made a lot of strides. Mm-hmm. But he's not looking like an 8th overall pick for Columbia.
You know, and I think, too, to me, this has always been kind of one of my issues, is I think someone that really needs to be under the hot seat is Lonnie Goldberg.
You know,
with him being kind of that head guy when it comes to that type of stuff, that would be one that, in my opinion, should be kind of questioned too, because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like, he's a part of getting these guys in, and you know, and so to me, it starts from the top, like we've talked. But I think you really have to start plucking from the bottom too, because if they're not being developed the right way, which we know from, I mean, pitching hasn't been developed in this organization for a long time. And so that's where, in my opinion, it comes down to the development, the scouting aspect, the drafting, and all that. And so if it was up to me, honestly, I would completely clean house. This is a time to do that. You got really a clean slate. You're seeing the all these guys that they've put a lot of time in since the World Series, and they're not panning out to mm-hmm. to at least to the level that they should. I definitely think that's where I would go. And you know me, I'm usually the optimist. I'm the guy that I absolutely want to say the Royals are going to win 90 games every year. But man, that's me being like real, and I think that should be done.
Yeah, that's true. And they kind of already started the process. I mean, they let go of their pitching coordinator. Not let go. They're not going to renew his contract out after this year. And it was very quiet move, I feel like, for someone in that position. You know, there wasn't any official press release. There wasn't a press conference or nothing like that. It was literally the guy announced it on his LinkedIn profile, and then JJ said something in a Bally Sports interview. Like, that was it. And to our point a little bit more, both guys talked about that it was a difference in philosophy. Like, JJ said, at this time, we feel like we needed to go in a different direction. Let's see. I can't pull up his LinkedIn post, but he did say something along the lines of philosophy and difference in direction. So there, that plays right into what you were saying. Maybe there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Maybe they are gearing up for a big move and they want to wait until the postseason to make it. So I don't know, dude. We really got to keep tabs on this, but I don't know what they're going to do to make it better immediately. I don't think there's anything they could do to make it better immediately.
Well, and my opinion too is, like, if there really was, if you really wanted to see what you have, then you would see guys like Marsh come up. And at least I get that there's like a, you know, you don't want to put MLB time on guys if they're not completely yep. ready, but like, I feel like where the Royals are at, you should at least see what you have at a major league level. And I just don't know, maybe they're just not confident in everything that they have, and then it would make the fan base even more upset if they bring guys mm-hmm. like that up and they struggle mightily. I mean, you can go back to Bradley Zimmer. I mean, or not Bradley Zimmer. That's the Zimmer that we drafted. And yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on. Stalmont was supposed to be this great starter, and he got pushed to the back of the bullpen there for a while. We talked about Singer maybe potentially having to go to the bullpen, and now he's kind of getting figured out. Bubic has kind of bounced back and forth. Like, mm-hmm. it's almost like they just don't know, once it doesn't work, what to do with these guys. So they try to give them every opportunity, and it's not working out. So, man, it's tough. And I think for me too, again, this could be a whole nother podcast, but how do you convince free agents to come to Kansas City if they're a top player, if they see what the Royals are right now? Like, how do you, besides money, what is your selling point to a player? Like, hey, we really want you to be the ace of the staff, when you see night in and night out what the products are. And like, I just, man, it's going to be tough for the Royals. And you know, I was so optimistic about them potentially being in the playoffs soon, and man, I just think the timeline is getting pushed back further and further, just because yep. none of the guys are. And again, it's not necessarily the position players. I think that can obviously develop a lot quicker. Pitching is, like, you know, Dayton's hit on it all the time. He says it's the currency of baseball. But man, if you don't have any trade value for guys, and you're not able to go get guys that way, and then you can't really mm-hmm. spend hundreds of millions of dollars to go get top of the line, what are you going to do? And it's just, that's what's frustrating.
It really is. And I think what's even more frustrating is we have fans and people watching the Royals saying, okay, we need to go out, we need to spend money, we need to go get these top of the line guys. But after each free agent class, there's always a handful of pitchers, especially, that get signed to these big old contracts and they go back to pedestrian numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Isn't that what happened with Ian Kennedy?
Ian Kennedy, another perfect example is Patrick Corbin. I don't know if you've seen him with the – he's got 18 losses this year, I think.
Yeah, and he was one of the lead free agents.
Yeah, he signed like a massive deal, and I remember them talking about when Hosmer was being traded that that was going to be part of the deal, was that they were just trying to dispose of his contract because he's going to get paid like $38 million next year or something. And I mean, that's a perfect example. But then you can kind of flip it around too and see some of those other guys that have been successful and
see
the coin flip, man. It really is. And it's just, it's tough. It's tough. Baseball, like, you know, I was talking to you about betting, man. Baseball by far is the toughest to bet on, but it's also probably the toughest when it comes to paying guys and understanding what, and night in and night out, it could be completely different. So it's a hard sport.
It is. And you know what? There's a reason why we're sitting here on a podcast and talking about it and not, you know, in Kansas City making decisions about it right now.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that, you know, I don't know. Would you want to be in a team's front office?
I think I would. I would, because I think – I don't necessarily I think the reason I would want to be is just because I want to see, like, for example, what we're talking about. With this being such a crap show, I guess you could say, how are they going in every day? Like, what is the mentality? What is the I guess vibe? Like, is it terrible? Like, everybody's coming in and just morale's down, or like, is morale high and they're still like, that's what I would want to be a part of and be able to see, like, because a perfect example is look at the Orioles. You know, the Orioles have been bad for years, but they've drafted. And now we're seeing them kind of come to fruition, and we're seeing guys like pan out, and they're doing good, and like they're even competing for a spot in the wild card. And so, like, obviously, that's, you know, a lot of people doubted them, and now they're turning it around. So, like, is that what the Royals are using as an example? Is like, hey, we see the Baltimore Orioles doing that, we can do that. Or, but that's why I would want to be in the front office too. I think that would be, man, on the opposite end too, like, to have a fan base that is just so upset with you and like nothing's working your way, like that'd be kind of upsetting too.
Yeah, and it would be very, very upsetting. And oh, I don't know, I'm just so, see, now I'm even getting a little upset about it just thinking about it, man. And this will likely be one of our final points for the day. Talking about, you know, you want to see the vibe, you want to see the morale, how folks are handling themselves around the team. Real quick, I feel like we got to talk about Mike Matheny too, because so after last night's loss, it was 6-3, not terrible, but the fact that the Royals got no hits so late into the game got a lot of people frustrated, and rightfully so. You don't want to be on the wrong end of a no-hitter. And then Mike Matheny goes out into the dugout today for his interview, and he talks about how the breaking up the no-hitter raised the morale of the team and, you know, did good things for the players. And I'm, you know, this is something maybe we talked to Jared Perkins about. I'd love to hear a player actually talk about this, but I don't, me personally, I don't see how breaking up a no-hitter after being no-hit for 8-plus innings is a morale booster. Like, do you see that? Am I missing something?
I mean, I wouldn't say a morale booster, but it's probably a relief to be like, man, we didn't get no hit. But to
That's true.
If it truly was a morale booster, they wouldn't have came out and been down 3-0 in the first inning of tonight's ball game. It's definitely. I think the words that were used probably definitely weren't the best, because it's not a morale booster. If anything, it was just like relief that we didn't get no hit. But yeah, I don't know. I like Mike Matheny as a person. I think for him to re-enter baseball as a coach the way he did, to go from the bottom up through the organization, to see how, you know, to see how everything was developing. And then him take over the head coaching position after Ned Yost. And, like, I think that was great. But now everything that he's expected to kind of come, you know, bring to the table isn't really working out. And it's just, man, It's tough because also, like, a head coach to me in baseball isn't going to change a whole lot. Their job is to keep morale up, is to put the right lineup on the card, to call the right people in from the bullpen, to make the right substitutions at a good time. And there's been a lot of question marks on lineups at times. There's been a lot of question marks on bringing certain people in certain situations from the bullpen.
Yep.
That's where you can start to scrutinize him and be like, you know, what are we doing here, and what, how much longer does he have? But I don't think a head coach necessarily is – they're going to take the brunt of it. But, like, for me, I think, you know, our pitching coach obviously is more on a hot seat than I would say Matheny is, just because of how bad it is. But then I think, again, you can start to really just trickle that down, because by the time they get here, you know, those guys should be ready to roll, developed, and everything like that, and they're not.
Right.
So then again, like, is Cal Eldridge really completely at fault? Because by the time they get to him, they should be a polished product, and they're not. So to kind of go back to the whole Matheny thing, man, it's just such a tough thing, because you feel for the guy, but then you're like, maybe a change is necessary just to get everything kind of maybe reset.
Right. And you know what? Piccolo was talking about going in a different direction for not renewing their pitching coordinator's contract. Maybe that's the way that they go with Matheny. I know we've all been talking about firing everyone and literally clearing house there in Kauffman. I don't think the Royals do that, but I think there's a lot of folks who could be not around with the Royals in 2023. Do you think? So I will say this. If you had to move on from one person in particular for the Royals, who would it be?
Man, that's tough. It's going to be Cal Eldridge for me, but it's tough because, like I said in the podcast, I think you have to just take the axe and just, hey, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone. Like, you're just going to have to do that. But if I had to pick one, it's going to be Cal, just because once they get up here, it's almost like you kind of got to be able to pick things up and be like, hey, let's work on this in a bullpen session. And I'm sure they do that, but for them to not then translate it out onto the mound when you're facing teams you should beat, I think that's where I would say, Cal, you got to go, buddy.
All right, there you go. Well, you heard it here first from Lucas Murphy. Now, Lucas, I do have to say this, though. Before we started recording, you said you had a question for me, and I really want to hear this one.
Yeah, I got my question for you is obviously we're getting to the end of the season.
Yep.
I think there's I'm not going to quote you completely, but you said roughly 20 games left.
Yep.
Playoff picture shaping up. Who you got in the World Series, and then who do you got winning?
Oh, man. Dang, yeah, you really had to put me on the spot with this one, huh?
I told you it'd be fun, but, man, I really want to know your thoughts on that.
Man, I don't have the Braves repeating, but I have them going back to the World Series. In my projections here, dang, that's a tough one. I'm gonna be a homer because it's hard to deny. I think the Yankees got a real good shot, dude.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, I despise the Yankees very, very deeply. But dang, if this is the year for them to do it, or if there's any year for them to do it, it's this year.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Honestly, I really want to see the Blue Jays. I want to see the Blue Jays there. I think from the AL, that is a possibility, just because I think that their bats are so lethal, man. And they can come on at any time. And if they get on a hot streak as a team, and we know, like, you know, the mustaches or the beards start to come out, the long hair, the hype for playoffs. Yes. That would be a team that is young enough, and they got enough veteran guys that can happen. My actual prediction is going to be the Jays and the Dodgers.
Okay. There you go. Well, hey, honestly, I am excited for October to come. I am excited for playoff baseball to be here, where every game really does matter. It really does count. So we'll I mean, shoot, we'll probably still be talking about Royals baseball during that time, but I'll have my brain elsewhere on some nights.
Well, and I'm sure, like, you know, once things start to get to that point, you're going to start to, you know, we usually start to see some things happen as soon as the season ends. So we'll definitely be talking for sure, Royals.
Exactly, exactly. Well, hey, as we're wrapping this up, Lucas, I know you've told us all where your social media is before and all that jazz, but you have been putting out content again. Where can folks find that content, though?
Yeah, you guys head over to my Twitter. It's the Beat of KC, and honestly, it's been tied in. I've been doing a lot of KU stuff through Blue Wings Rising, so I've been literally talking football. Once basketball rolls around, it's going to be involved in that. I'm going to be hopefully going and attending a few football games, so Blue Wings Rising is going to be a lot of my content again, and I'm excited for it. It's fun to talk college and cover a school that I'm really passionate about, so that's where you guys can get a lot of my work.
There you go. I find it a little too hard to be unbiased about the Wildcats. That's why I stopped writing about them.
Yeah, no, sure. And, you know, I mean, I'm excited for K-State, too, just because I think, you know, Deuce Vaughn's good, and just the history that K-State has when it comes to football, too, and with Bill Snyder. And so, yeah, man, I completely get the bias for sure.
Right now, I'm very excited for this year's Sunflower Showdown.
It's gonna be good, man. I'm pumped. I really am. It's gonna be a good showdown, I think. The unfortunate problem is it's gonna be in Manhattan. That crowd is gonna be on fire, man. Yes. So yeah.
Hey, I'm here for it. I can't wait to watch it. But everyone, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It was so great to have Lucas back on the podcast. You can follow the podcast at Royal Rundown Pod, and please also go check out Inside the Royals at Inside Royal on Twitter. A lot of good work going on over there. And thank you again for listening. And until next time, go Royals!